It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the program that loves nothing more than listening to self-righteous, sanctimonious lectures from the Democrats. We believe in the rule of law. Nobody is above the law. January 6th was the most existential threat to our country since the Civil War. There was actually an assault on federal property and federal officers. Yeah, well, tell that to the people of Minnesota, where they're disobeying the law, not honoring the Supremacy Clause, attacking ICE agents, attacking their cars. It's disgusting. And what's really disgusting is they don't even seem to see their hypocrisy. But I'll tell you a man who's not hypocritical. He's a man who always joins us during these slow news weeks. Say hello to Mike Friedenberg.
Yes, it's once again, Bob, we will be struggling to figure out something to talk about.
We've been struggling since 2015 when Trump first entered the election to struggle for something to talk
exactly.
about. I used to do my mic checks in the studio. They say, Bob, test your mic. I go, okay, Trump. That's how I warm up.
Well, I think that word Trump has been probably, I'm going to guess, it's uttered at least a billion times.
I'm resisting the temptation of making that horrible pun about how it trumps all other subjects.
I was joking about a billion times because
okay.
It's way, way over.
It's
a billion.
Probably, yeah.
No, it's way.
Think like
about
our
it.
National debt, it's more in the trillions.
Yeah, yes. It's probably. Who knows? So there is a whole lot of things happening. And obvious ones are the ICE violence, the violence against the immigration and the opposition from the, especially from the sanctuary cities there.
And that buffoon mayor and that buffoon governor.
Yeah, well, it's the buffoonery is party-wide. Hundreds.
Yes.
I actually researched this. I could find hundreds and hundreds of quotes comparing the ICE officials to Nazis, to Gestapo, comparing what they're doing to slave trade.
And when we uncover billions of dollars of fraud, we're racist because the Somalians
right.
are perpetrating the fraud.
And what's obviously there is the danger of the violence against the ICE officers. But what they're doing is they're encouraging untrained people to go and put themselves in harm's way. Renee Good, Cole Good.
She was a pawn in a lot of that. No, she did go to a place to get trained.
No, she did. I know she did.
But be a revolutionary.
But the training didn't set her up.
Yeah.
I mean, what it did is it told her, here's how to put yourself in harm's way. That's what the training taught her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she did.
But she wasn't expecting to die.
No, she wasn't expecting to die.
She wanted to be a martyr, but she didn't want to die.
But I watched the video, and her partner, it was clear. So arrogant.
They were just egging those guys
on. But they were so arrogant. They just did not expect to be arrested. Right. They thought they could do what they did with impunity. And then when the threat of arrest came, I personally believe that she panicked a bit, and she was not. She was going to run away. She was not going to get arrested.
I don't think she was trying to run him over.
No.
But that's what she ended up.
But on the other hand, she was going to get away.
Yeah.
And if an ICE officer got in front of her car, so be it.
Well, she was already breaking the law by resisting what they were doing.
And that's something that.
And you know what, Mike? Most of the people in those crowds are never going to be held accountable. I know they've made a few arrests. Most of them are just like right now where the Clintons are in contempt of Congress. Nothing's going to happen to the Clintons. You know what? I know it. I know Trump. President, nothing's going to happen to most of these people.
Probably not, but
maybe some file clerk or some guy that takes out the trash for one of these agencies. That's all that's going to happen.
Now, one of the things that was interesting, I did read up on this, is that the ICE officer did suffer internal injuries, internal bleeding.
Yeah, he did, but nobody on the left cares.
Minor, because obviously he was able to walk away, and that covers a gamut of things.
But it wouldn't have mattered. Even if he had no injury at all, she did what she did.
No, I of course.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's interesting is that if you watch the video, and I've seen some analysis on this, the tire spun while she was trying to accelerate. If they had better traction, if the road was not icy, it would have been a direct hit on him.
Yeah.
And it would have gone from a minor internal injury to a very serious injury.
That makes sense.
But regardless, the result was she ended up getting killed. And by the way, the ICE officer, you know, people talk like he calculated, you know, why did he fire more than one shot? It was three shots in less than a second.
And I heard they're supposed to fire more than three shots as part of their protocol.
Well, they're not, when they fire their guns, they're not planning, they're firing to take the person down.
Yeah.
And a trained shooter at close range will fire in groups of three shots, bam, 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 like that. And they're very accurate in that. And so it was really, really one event. They're trained to fire that way. So it's
and he had to make a split-second decision. Yes. She was hitting him with her car. What part of this do they not? Well, here's the thing. I was about to say, what part of this do they not understand? They understand all of it, and it doesn't matter to them.
So I do fear for some potential, even a further escalation above and beyond what's going on, because it's very dangerous situations.
Well, now a judge goes, an Obama appoint, no, it was a Biden appointed judge, rules that they can't even use tear gas. Now,
I did read that initially, but I had not looked into it yet, and I was having a discussion with my son, and he did point out, he's seen some analysis, that it was sort of a PR-type ruling, because what she said is that you cannot use pepper spray against peaceful protesters. First Amendment.
Yeah, but they define all that violence as peaceful protesters.
But another angle on that is when she said that, that was sort of to imply that they had been using the pepper spray on peaceful protesters. So when it gets down to it, when people come in within a certain amount of distance, that is an assault. You don't have to be actually touching somebody to be committing assault. And if you're impeding an investigation, that is illegal. And yet officers can surprise. So I don't
peaceful think- protest means you stand and you hold some. Oh, by the way, did you hear about that church service that was interrupted this morning?
Yes, I did.
And then that horse's patoot, Don Lemon, went in there to interview the pastor. And the pastor saying, this is disgraceful, preventing us from having a church. He says, well, there's a First Amendment, right? I'm going, you jerk. Read the First Amendment. There's a First Amendment right for religious assembly. And the right to speak out doesn't mean you prevent somebody else from speaking, which is what they're doing when they interrupt the church service. It's just these lunatics quote the First Amendment. They wouldn't know the First Amendment from Kleenex.
Yep. I just hope that things can calm down. Obviously, they have to keep doing what they're doing. They do need to arrest people. They can't let these kind of tactics stop
them. Well, there's supposed to be 1,500 troops being ready to be sent. And I thought Trump would have nationalized the Minnesota National Guard first, taking them out of Waltz's control. But instead, they're talking about sending troops.
That may be part of the Insurrection Act invocation.
Yeah.
Actually, the actual troops. So we'll see. Anyway, most of the people are following this pretty closely. It's disgraceful. It's very bad. That's all, you know, I could say about it. Now, Trump has been very successful. Obviously, we know the borders is basically sealed, right? We know that something in the order, the Trump administration is saying around 600,000 people have been deported or, you know.
Self-deported.
Self-deported.
It's different.
It's
different
about 1.5 million.
So wow, that's great.
An impact of over 2 million, which is huge. So that's very good. And that is obviously freaking out the Democrats because that's some of the support.
Because he's working it out peacefully and they can't accuse him of anything.
Well, but also because they want those people.
Because they want the votes.
Part of their power base.
They want the illegal votes.
The other reason, of course, we had them so hysterical and screaming is that this fraud, the Somali fraud ring discovered in Minnesota. Well, the fraud is rampant and it's going to be rampant across all, literally every major blue city is going to have similar types of fraud. And they're desperate for anything to divert the attention away from the fraud narrative.
Anybody who thinks that trying to cover up for the fraud isn't what the mayor and the governor of Minnesota is doing is just not paying attention.
Yeah, so. Enough on that. Another thing I did want to bring up was the upcoming midterm elections and cost of living. Now, under the Biden administration, the average working family lost $3,000 of purchasing power over the time, you know, per year, $3,000 purchasing power. There was a 21% increase in the cost of goods. So Trump has lowered the rate of the increase to like 2.7% inflation rate. However, he is not, and actually within a year, families have regained about $700 of purchasing power with increased wages, middle class, working class folks. But that does not make up for that 21% massive hit they took over the last 4 years. So people are still feeling the pain from that. Sadly, a lot of the people that are feeling the pain are going, well, Trump said he's going to take care of it. How come it's not taking care of it?
Well, the Democrats are pushing this narrative that Trump's not taking care of it, and the Republicans are horrible at messaging, so that's not a good combination.
The Trump administration has done more on messaging than I've ever seen any other administration
do. Yeah, but it's still not enough.
Well, they are going into a very tough environment, but I will give them credit for trying to do more. Then you have Trump's heavy-duty involvement with foreign policy stuff. You know, is being involved with Israel, being involved with Venezuela, now with this Greenland
thing. But you know what? I think the protesters against that, what they're afraid of, what Trump promised was that he wasn't going to get us entrenched in 10-year wars.
That's not
like Iraq and Afghanistan. Going in and doing surgical strikes like he's been doing, I don't really think that's going against his foreign policy doctrine.
I'm not saying it is. My point is
just the way it's being portrayed.
It is that there's a certain segment that voted for Trump because he was taught he was about focusing on their issues. Their cost issues, and when
a lot of his foreign policy is helping our costs, with Venezuela, the oil we're going to get now,
it's going to be very much,
and the tariffs. His foreign policy directly affects our national policy, but I don't think people are connecting the dots.
What I think is the polling shows that what they see is the president focusing on foreign policy and not on domestic policy. It's been very, very prominent. He's been doing a lot of stuff domestically, but the stuff that's been getting the coverage. And we're not talking about people that deeply research. They don't.
Right.
They want him focused.
But if they could explain how the tariffs are helping us locally.
Well, I don't think they don't mind the tariffs. What they don't like is the foreign involvement. They don't like the Israel-Iran strikes. They don't like the Venezuela stuff. They don't like all this stuff going on with Ukraine. He said he was going to end the war with Ukraine.
They didn't like seeing cargoes of narcotics boats blown up coming from Venezuela.
Oh, they actually did like that kind of. Okay. They sort of like that, actually, to be. I think that's actually fairly popular. That part of it is.
I just wish the voters weren't so stupid and fickle, Mike. Do they want to go back to somebody like Biden then? Because the economy, okay, it's better, but it's not as good as Trump.
The voters I'm talking about weren't voting. They're the Trump-only voters.
Trump-only voters.
And why did they come out and vote for Trump?
Yeah.
Not because of his foreign policy. He said he was not going to get involved with wars. That's one thing.
I think a case can be made that the way he's doing it, we're not really getting involved with
the
war.
But that is for them. That's you know,
they're not seeing the difference.
Getting too
fine-grained. We've got to make them see the difference, Mike, because this is not good.
And it's very tough to get those people to vote for anybody else. See, that's what happened to Trump in 2018, is he could not get his base to come, a part of his base, he could not get them to come out
and
vote.
Well, how did they
him.
Like it when he got impeached immediately as a result of them not voting?
I don't know what it is, because they should be voting.
They just don't think ahead.
And so that's my only point, is that all this foreign policy involvement is not good going into the midterms.
It's frustrating that our country's in the hands of people that are so fickle and so uneducated.
Well, this really is the group of people that had all their jobs sent over to China.
But he's bringing the jobs back.
Well,
Why can't they see that?
I'm just saying.
He's not just trying to do that. He's succeeding in doing that.
And frankly, I'll be honest, I could have been perfectly fine without the Venezuela strikes. I'll be blunt. I could have been very happy with that. They were well executed.
But it's very directly related to what's been happening on our border and illegal people getting into our country.
Venezuela is about, in terms of countries in the world that import drugs in the United States, Venezuela is about 14.
I think he was also very interested in China's involvement America.
Here's the thing.
Very similar to his concern about Greenland.
Yeah, well, anyway, listen, over the last 10 years, they have imported over 1,000 tons of cocaine over the last 10 years have come in there. But they're one of the smaller cocaine distributors. They don't do fentanyl at all. No fentanyl whatsoever comes out of Venezuela. So they're not. The drug thing was a nice thing, but I think what you said is correct. I think it was more about China and Russia, too.
Yeah.
And the oil. Well, the oil, big time. Yeah. I mean, the drug thing.
Anyone that doesn't think the oil situation is going to help us locally and domestically is just not paying attention.
So the oil thing. So I think that we could have caused the government to collapse with the pressure we were doing from, you know, shutting down the oil from coming out of the country. But anyway, it was very good. It was very well. But it was a very high-risk thing, because any general that told President Trump, hey, no problem, we can go in and do this operation and not have any casualties, somebody that would tell the president that should be fired, because this was a miracle there was no U.S. casualties.
Well, yeah. But,
literally, a miracle.
But they did do it without casualties.
But they did, because there was 5,000 man-portable air defense devices. Each one of those could have taken down one of those helicopters. Now, I also believe that they had lots of money exchanged hands for people to say, oh, I'm not going to turn this missile system on.
Right.
And things of that nature happened.
I'm sure.
Now, with that said, I kind of going back to what you're saying is, I do think there is this what I would call extreme anti-interventionism. And I can sort of empathize with it, because especially since the fall of the Soviet Union, I don't think we've had a very effective foreign policy. I think it's not been I think it's actually hurt the United States.
Well,
it's
I hated seeing Iraq drag on and Afghanistan
drag on.
Well,
I don't think the Iraq thing was good
at all. I'm convinced Trump's not going to get us into those kinds of wars.
Well, no, but I guess my
wars.
Point is that but with all these people feel burned, and you look at Vietnam, yeah. I actually do think that there was some good intent
there. We were there for 10 years, and then Vietnam toppled anyway.
Right, and then, you know, and it didn't, and we killed hundreds of thousands, maybe.
And it accomplished nothing.
So I think that this anti-interventionism is so extreme that any time they just don't trust the U.S. government at all.
It's understandable. It's sympathetic. But people still need to wake up.
But with that said, I think that if you're too extremist on your anti-interventionism, then you truly can't be America first.
Exactly.
As an America first person, you sometimes there is going to be a cause for the military to be
used. Sorry, Trump, when he campaigned both times, he talked every bit as much about how other countries around the world were taking advantage of us. He was very much about our foreign policy as well. They were very blended together.
I guess, yes. If you plump in the
my concern for America means I'm not going to let America get screwed by the rest of the world. He was merging them together.
Except that I would say that was more of an economic message than a military use message. Obviously, he wanted to have a strong military.
Well, speaking of military use, when we come back, I want to get your opinion of Greenland. I totally understand why Trump wants it and the idea of purchasing it. But to say that he's not going to take military off the table to get it, I think that's a big mistake. Anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined today by columnist Mike Friedenberg.
So you mentioned Greenland, and I think I probably agree with you that I understand it's a negotiating tactic, but it has alienated Greenlanders, really, and also the polling shows people don't appreciate it.
I know he hasn't come out in so many words and said, I'll use the military, but he hasn't declined when people have asked him about it. He hasn't categorically denied it. I don't think he would really do it, but I don't think he should even be hinting at it, especially with the media the way they are. Why give them more fodder?
Well, it's been pretty extreme on that. I mean, I would say he's been closer to hinting that he might use the military than saying he's not going to use it the way
he has said, we're going to get Greenland one way or the other.
Right.
And that's, I guess that's more or less saying it.
So it is a negotiating tactic. I think he might have, I personally believe, you know, you can get more with honey than vinegar. I believe that would have been a good route to go this way.
He's absolutely right, though. And he says, look, if we don't take it, the Russians and the Chinese will. And that's true. And I do think Europe's being stupid about it. But we can't just go and invade a sovereign country. We can't do
that. Well, Greenland is the colonial residue of colonialism.
Yeah.
It is currently owned by Denmark. It's a semi-autonomous territory of Denmark. But let's just realize.
But you can't conquer them and then build a Trump hotel and think everything's fine now because you built a Trump hotel.
Right. But the fact is it is on the North American continent. It's not on the European continent.
Yeah.
And
it made sense. I know that when we purchased Alaska, there was an effort to take Greenland at the same time, which would have been good. I'll tell you this, it comes in very handy in risk. You cannot defend North America in risk without Greenland.
No. But it is a key strategic area, national defense area for the United States. It is not a key national defense area for Denmark.
Yeah.
At all.
I'm in 100% agreement with Trump that we need it, we want it, and I want to get it. I just don't want him talking about using the military to take it.
There is some complicating factors. For example, we do have a 1951 treaty with Denmark. Basically, that through that treaty, during the Cold War, we were able to put over 50 military installations onto Greenland. We had it armed to the teeth. So, in theory, we could negotiate with Greenland to fill it up with military equipment right now, too, without having to take it. And that's the argument.
Are the same installations still there that we put there at that time?
They were disassembled. We only have one big...
Probably disassembled by Obama.
We had an Air Force base there, and it's one of our Space Force bases. But theoretically, we could negotiate with Denmark to heavily arm Greenland. However, I can see why Trump's not as confident in that as he might have been 40 or 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago, when they made that treaty. There is a lot of concern, I believe, in higher levels in the Trump administration just about how good an allies Europe is.
Well, wouldn't that be a better way to go with Denmark and Greenland, though? Talk more about us protecting them and less about us owning it. Because if we're in there protecting them and we're able to put in all the military bases we want, that'll take care of the Chinese and the Russians. And isn't that more or less all that he's concerned about anyway?
I read something by Stephen Miller, you know, his policy
advisor. I love Stephen Miller.
So he made this point, and I think it's a good point. He says, so under Article 5, Europe and Denmark are counting on the United States to defend Greenland for them. So we're going to own Greenland, but you are going to defend it for us.
And, yeah, well, that sucks.
Well, that's what they're saying. That's the current status quo. We're going to continue to own Greenland, but the U.S. is going to be on the hook to defend
it. Okay, well, see, now you're putting it in a way that you don't hear often on the media. More people understood that than what Trump's trying to do would make more sense.
And right now we're in a situation, and I believe that it's a natural climate change, where the Arctic polar routes, the transpolar route and the Northwest Passage are opening up, so you get a lot more commerce there. So we're now in a phase where there's going to be some opportunities to actually exploit and use some of the resources both in Greenland and maybe in the Arctic Circle region there. So when the U.S. starts developing there, right, and let's say we put in military bases, there's a good chance we'll start building roads and infrastructure. So now we're building roads and infrastructure for Denmark. Trump doesn't like to do that kind of stuff. If he's going to put all this billions and billions of dollars in investments into Greenland, he wants it to accrue to the United States. So I can see his thinking on that. That's a really key point. And the other point I want to get back to is we're seeing all these things happen in Europe, the free speech things. Well, that's starting to create a rift between the United States and the European countries. And Denmark's really bad.
Yeah, why are we sticking out our necks for these countries that don't believe in a First Amendment?
Denmark is very woke. Now, the European countries don't like to be thought of as fascist, totalitarian.
No, but they are implementing. They need to wake up.
They're heading that direction. And
England is already there. So is Germany, more or less.
Denmark's very bad, too. Then you add in the fact that 4 years ago, I looked at on paper, and I said, oh, yeah, Europe looks really strong, even compared to Russia, you know, in terms of if you add up all the countries and their militaries. Well, since then, I've learned that Their militaries have been severely underfunded. Some of them don't even have live ammunition. They're using broomsticks to do drills. In other words, the military in Europe is far less powerful than it looks like on paper.
And I'm guessing that they're very woke militaries that learn their pronouns, too.
Well, they probably do, but they've also just gotten used to the United States paying for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Trump is not a chump.
I don't think it's in the near future, but let's say, let's do a scenario where China decides, I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't see it happen now, but maybe something can happen in 10 years, 15 years. Maybe they're invited in by Greenland because by this time, Europe's so angry that the United States is calling them out on their totalitarianism. We're no longer that friendly. So in comes China, and all of a sudden, China's there in major force. And Denmark's saying, oh, well, Article 5 of the NATO treaty, you need to come in here to get rid of them. And then, so who's going to do it? Will Europe actually join in a major battle against China? No. Because they're going to be sitting there looking, well, we have very limited resources. We're still a little bit worried about Russia here. So I can't see the big picture, but I actually was more along the lines of, until I really started thinking about it, you know, we could easily do the 1951 treaty and put the military bases in there. But
because the treaty is still in operation.
It's still in operation. We could do that. I absolutely, would be extremely upset and absolutely opposed if any Greenlander was ever killed by U.S. forces. That would be disgusting. I'm just sorry. I'll flat out say that. However, I'm all for bribing. I mean, there's only 56,000 people there. So if you were to give them $1 million each, and I know it'd only be $50 billion. Only $50 billion.
If somebody offered me $1 million, I can't think of a whole lot of reason why I would resist.
And then at the same time, you're offering to build up the infrastructure and improve things there. Now, it also—
Plus the egg roll, the decoder ring. I mean, there's a whole bunch of—
So I'm just thinking that going from the vinegar approach to the honey approach, now maybe that's his plan. It's the hard man, soft man routine.
I suspect it is. Trump likes to keep people guessing, and that's one of his strengths. But still, I just don't want to hear even a hint that we would go in there and invade them.
And if Greenlanders were to vote to say, hey, we want to become a protectorate of the United States, then Denmark would be in a pretty tough position. They'd have to do something.
Well, if he gives them each $1 million, I'll bet they just might vote for that.
I mean, even if it was only 500,000, that would only be 25 billion. Yeah. But when you think about, when I think about the hundreds of, I'm not joking, hundreds of billions of dollars every year we waste on defense spending, $50 billion to get a land that's a quarter the size of the United States that's bigger than Alaska is a bargain.
He should go in and say, I'll give you $500,000 each if you vote to become a protectorate. We'll make it $1 million each if you become a state.
Well, we don't want it to
but
become
But then he
a state.
Has to add in there, but you can't become a Democratic state.
No, we don't want them to be a state. They can be a protectorate.
We that's don't need fine. Another state. We would go state. To the Democrats. After all Trump did, they'd end up becoming a Democrat state.
Yeah, I mean, the folks there are mostly Inuit, European. Genetically, they're like 78% Inuit Indian and 20-30% European. And they're both very fishing. None of the cities have roads between them. So there's a lot of things that could be done. Now, Greenland does subsidize them to the tune of $600 million a year. They've been doing that for a long time.
Greenland, Denmark.
Denmark, yes. However, they can't afford to do the kind of development in Greenland that the United States can. Peter Thiel was talking about, you know, setting up enterprise cities in Greenland and places like that. So there's billions and billions of dollars potential investment, and that's what Trump wants to unleash. But if he's going to unleash it, he wants it to be directly for America. He doesn't want to be both on the hook for defending the country and also building up the economic value of Greenland for Denmark. He doesn't want to do that. So I don't see us going in their military. I do think that persuading them, economic persuasion, should be the way to go. I hope that's what we do. I think it'd be good for the country, and I think it'd be good for Greenland. So, I mean, that's all I can say about it. I mean, I just wanted to throw a few things in there that I hadn't even thought about, you know, until I really started looking at it, because I was sort of just kind of generically going along stuff. So anyway, enough with Greenland. Onward and upward, or downward, or however we're going here. Actually, it's upward. One of the things that happened to us when Biden was in office, and also when Obama's in office, is the number of bad things that were happening. It just kept coming. Boom, boom, boom. And there were so many of them that, you know.
You mean from other nations?
No, from just what the administration doing, all the bad policies and the horrible things they were doing to our country.
Yeah.
So you'd focus
it was
on one.
An agenda to remake the United States.
And you'd focus on one. And then 6 months later, you're on something else. And you look back and you realize, oh, there was these other 10 things that I haven't thought about a while. That
and
these
Trump's
horrible things.
Trump's kind of done the reverse of that.
Okay, you're ahead of me. So That is what has happened to us with Donald Trump.
With all the executive orders.
And even the legislation, Big Beautiful Bill, there was a lot of good things in that bill.
And thank goodness that one was able to get through without the filibuster.
Okay, here's a piece of good news. You probably heard it. For the first time in over 50 years, the United States has a negative net immigration. Negative net. That means more people have left the country than entered it. That's the first time in over 50 years.
That is very good news.
And this is going from millions per year down to a net negative. That shows a very successful. And we wouldn't be at that net negative unless we actually had some aggressive deportations.
And the real bonus, Rosie O'Donnell left the country too.
Yes, that was part of it. That's part of it. So that is actually really, really good news there. Then you get to things such as, I was talking about the cost of living. Well, he has brought inflation down from it was
well,
running.
And part of the Big Beautiful Bill is no tax on tips, no tax on
yeah,
tips.
And that's going to...
You think that when that kicks in, that's going to change people's attitude
and
about
Social
how
Security.
They're doing?
And I think that's going to really help
that
with
the Social
Security.
That has to affect how people think they're doing financially,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
It will, and it will have an impact on it. So that's really good. And 2.7% inflation right now versus peaks of 9% inflation.
And the amount of jobs that are coming back, and the coal mining industry's opened up again, the auto industry's opened up
again.
No more electric vehicle mandates.
And job increases. Under the Biden administration, the job increases they saw were foreign
workers. They were government jobs.
No, they were foreign workers, too. Foreign-born workers. Actually, U.S. citizens lost.
They would put that in their job
And U.S. citizens were losing jobs under Trump. By far and away,
but
U.S.
they would
citizens
still boast about
jobs.
All the jobs
I know,
they were creating.
But under Trump, the people getting the jobs are U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
So that is pretty, pretty huge. The tariff revenue has been very big.
Now, I'm a little concerned. What's your prediction of when the Supreme Court finally rules on the tariffs, which is supposed to do very soon? Isn't that going to just blow the whole thing up? And I don't trust that
philosophically, I would say this. Even if we had a Supreme Court case and we had a Democrat president that was doing stupid tariffs that I didn't like, I would still say the president has to have the ability to do the tariffs.
Yeah, you would say that, but what's the Supreme Court going to say?
I don't know. I kind of still think they're going to
You think they're going to rule out some of them, but not all of them? They tend to do those in-between things.
They need the president. Congress cannot negotiate tariffs. They cannot move fast enough. You need to have the executive doing it.
Congress can't even agree on the color of a stick of gum. How are they going to negotiate
they can't.
For us?
So I really.
Or if they do overturn them, they've got to do something that says, okay, but we're not going to make this retroactive because we would be damaging our position with the world. We're going to let the ones that are here go forward and then maybe rule about something for the future. That I wouldn't like that either, but that would be better than nothing.
Well, it would be better than nothing, but it'd still be horrible.
Yeah.
It still would be horrible.
All right, hold with me, Mike. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Some think of this music as the Magnificent Seven. Others think of it fondly as the old Marlboro commercial in the 1960s. But we like to think of it as bumper music on the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Yes, speaking of the Marlboro Man.
I first heard this as the Marlboro Man. I never knew it was from a movie till years ago. Great movie, though.
Tom Selleck was the Marlboro Man.
Are you
he was
kidding?
Before he became
was
got
he
back
really?
To, for a brief period of time. He was
there
the
must
Marlboro
have been
man.
More than one then, because he was too young to be the original.
No, but he was not the original. But he
could have been one of the Marlboro.
But he could have been in the late 70s.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So he's 80 now, by the way.
Yeah.
But back to some of the stuff.
What's
by
scary
the way,
is that doesn't sound so old to me anymore.
There's hundreds of positive things the Trump administration has done. Not only executive orders, military policy, but here's
Greg Gutfeld keeps saying we don't deserve him.
Well, in a way, I think that's a good way to go. 10-1, he promised, in terms of regulations, for every new regulation they created, he retired 10.
Yeah, he is very good about keeping his promises.
Well, he actually did 129-1 ratio.
Wow.
Okay, so 646 regulatory, deregulatory actions versus 5 new regulatory actions. And they an estimated savings of $211.8 billion in savings over a specific period of time. But just huge savings over just life of his administration. So huge, huge savings by doing this. And helping to unleash business. A lot of this stuff is business and lots of other things. Something else that he did that was super huge is he basically took away California's ability to dictate car standards for the rest of the country. He said you could no longer set independent car environmental standards for California. You were given an exemption to do that. He removed their exemption to do that. So now,
well, if they did it for California, how would that have affected the rest of the
because
country?
The rest because car manufacturers because the California is so huge,
oh,
they had to sort of follow,
they would have to follow them where they're making the cars somewhere else.
And then there was a number of liberal states, you know, blue states, that would just follow California standard. So by that time, the car manufacturers are like, yes, we have to try to meet these new standards. Well, with that gone, that's gone. Now, another good thing is that my favorite cars, some of the big V8 cars were getting eliminated due to these crazy green policies. Well, they're coming back, Bob. They're coming back. And
I'm so anxious to get rid of the green.
No, I mean, and so that's
and all
really
the
goodness.
Moron politicians that promoted it. I want to get rid of them, too.
So that the California CA tax there, we don't feel it here because we live in crazy California, but gas is getting below $3 regularly across the country.
Well, but even in California, it's cheaper than it has been. I mean, $3.99, that's not cheap, but compared to what it's been here, it looks cheap.
Right. If we didn't live in California,
it's getting under $3 a gallon in other places.
We would really be feeling it here if we were getting California.
Okay, so folks, are you paying attention? That has to do with the cost of living.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Domestic. That's taking care of your finances. Think about the midterms.
And speaking of cost of living, housing.
They're finally getting a rein on that.
Well, what's happening is, I was surprised by this, but the number of illegal immigrants that have been pushed out or gone or left or whatever is actually in some markets freeing up housing, which is lowering the housing prices. And there was a lot of pressure on housing because of the masses of illegal people here living illegally.
Now, what are your thoughts on him putting a cap on visas about how much interest they could charge? I'm afraid that's going to just start allowing credit companies to deny credit cards to people.
I watched a hearing with Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, and he had MasterCard Visa executives up there. He was raking them over the fire. Those companies right now, they have monopoly status, and they're not behaving well, Bob.
Well, I agree that their rates are far too high, but I'm a little concerned that they need to see a way to make money for themselves, or they're going to just start denying cards to people.
So let's just get some details. Both of them are pulling in over 50% profits, over 50%. They're charging, the banks they work with, and they get a kickback from that, are charging 28 to 38% interest rates on credit card debt. And it's a monopoly. So they had a small business people were saying, we have to take MasterCard Visa, and they charge us these fees and rates. Then they go around and cut a deal with Walmart to charge them less. It's a volume deal, of course. That makes sense in a way. But here's these small businesses now trying to compete with Walmart, who's also paying less for each transaction with these. So there is an issue and a problem. You probably remember AT&T used to be a monopoly until they broke it up. And at the time, people were going, well, it's a natural monopoly. Well, when they broke it up, you saw competition. You saw a lot more innovation. And actually, the telecommunications industry would benefited. So I do think there might be a case to look at something to break up what is effectively a monopoly, because it is effectively a monopoly, and it's not good. Now, getting back to this just arbitrarily setting at 10%, I don't like that, because even though I do think they're taking advantage of being a monopoly, they do cover a lot of costs. For example, if somebody gets your card number and charges up $2,000 of stuff and you call them, you have you're going to be protected. You're not going to charge you on your card. Who pays for that $2,000? Well, that comes out of what their operating cost is. Right. So there's a lot of cost there that you have to take into account. So just arbitrarily, the 10% is a very populist move, but I think 10% is probably not realistic. And just the government arbitrarily doing that kind of stuff, I don't like it. So I will say that. I don't like that, but I do think that something needs to be done about the credit cards there. He's gotten us out of all the Green Deal stuff. He's pulled this stuff out of the Paris Agreement. Oh, the military. The military was spending billions trying to adopt green technology to the degree under the Biden administration and the plans they had. We were going to even have electric tanks.
And how much green military ideology did Russia and China have? They were probably
None.
Laughing their heads off at us.
But the green technology was crippling our military. It's not even a matter of cost. They were going to have all the bases with only electric vehicles. Well, when the power goes down, and if you have a major attack, let's say an EMP attack, well, you've got a certain amount of reserve energy to charge those electric vehicles up. A gas-powered vehicle, much more flexible, much better.
I love Trump's line that he used to use at rallies when he was talking about green energy. Honey, I'd like to watch the news tonight.
Yeah,
is the wind
great.
Blowing?
No, that was hilarious. That was hilarious. And then let's talk about MAHA.
Now, MAHA's been a very bipartisan thing. People are getting behind that.
There's
pushback from the left, but a lot of people who usually vote Democrat because of MAHA.
Out in the general population, has been bipartisan support. Yeah. But if you're listening to Senate hearings, it's not bipartisan.
No. If Trump's for it, they're against it. That's their only ideology.
It's like the food pyramid. Yeah. They completely changed the food pyramid.
They're saying only natural, wholesome foods. Oh, my gosh. Oh, so you're saying Fruit Loops shouldn't be at the top anymore?
And I looked at it, and I think they made a good case. They actually, protein
See,
is
that
at the
meat
top.
At the top of the food pyramid and, did my heart some good.
And I believe it's actually healthier. And then they've taken, I believe I have the numbers right, that we have, over the last 30, 40 years, we've just boosted the number of vaccines. And what's even worse, we've boosted the number of vaccines that needles we want to shove into newborns' arms. It's not good. So I think they've gotten it down from 70-something, it was a crazy number, to 11 or something like that. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, the measles, polio, there's some vaccines we need, they were going crazy with them.
I'm not anti-vaccine, but if you're going to do a vaccine, make sure it's a vaccine. If it's something that you have to take every 2 years, it's not a vaccine. It's a shot.
Yeah.
It's like the flu shot.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a vaccine. It's a flu shot. It's a hit and miss. Sometimes it's really beneficial, sometimes it's not. And I'm all for it. As long as it's not mRNA technology, get your flu shot. But
I never had trouble with vaccines until people were fired for not getting them. Then I took a stand. That's why I refused to get the COVID vaccine.
Exactly. So the MAHA thing has been fantastic. I mean, they took on the autism. And, you know, I do think there's some autism extremists out there. But the fact is autism has increased orders of magnitude, just in the same amount. And they showed some studies that said, you know what, why not look at the Tylenol there and things like that? And if you're pregnant, if you can avoid it, why not? They didn't tell people what they had to do, but they said, we just think this information is out there and people should look at it. And there was, of course, the screaming about that, right? Now, the military, which I will say this, one of my biggest disappointments is Trump's stuff on military procurement. And I do not agree about raising our military budget to $1.5 trillion. I think it's crazy. It's wasteful. Unless we do major defense procurement reform, I truly believe we could spend $1.5 trillion and in 10 years have a weaker military. That is bad. It's as bad as the corruption and the waste and the fraud and abuses of procurement. And he has not taken that on. But the positive is they're doing a fantastic job on the personnel side with getting rid of the woke DEI stuff. So that's a positive.
Absolutely.
And I don't see signs that he understands what's happening on the procurement side. But with Hegseth, I mean, they have made a big difference.
It's just night and day.
In the effect, and that has been a...
And military morale and military recruitment.
Well, recruitment's up. It's up, you know, that we haven't seen the recruitment like this in over 15 years. It's doing that well. So it really is, the DEI stuff is fantastic. And that is a very big part of the equation. And a meritocracy, people being advanced based upon merit. So that has been awesome. And there's hundreds and hundreds of other things that can be talked about, big and small. So that's always good for me to keep in mind, because I'm very disappointed about the military procurement side of things. But I also have to remind myself, hey, there's all these other fantastic things going on.
We both had some concerns, but I think both of us would say that the good from Trump far, far outweighs the bad.
At the good far, far outweighs the bad. And he is entertaining.
He's one of the funniest guys in the world, but his sense of humor is lost on the lunatics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Siegel and Mike Friedenberg. We will see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.